This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2016, and my name is Patrick Smith. Well, the playoffs are just around the corner. The Belfast Giants will face off against the Nottingham Panthers this weekend, game on Saturday and a game on Monday. There's plenty to talk about, and coming up on this week's show...
Bang. The net of Stephen Murphy. It's bobbling about right behind there. Jumps out front. There's a chance here. Goes the length of the ice. And it's right in the middle of it this time. And it's from the captain, Adam Keith.
Three games to round off the regular season for the Giants. And 15 goals scored in them. Davey and Aaron will be along. Just a moment to talk about those wins over the Cardiff Devils and the Fife Flyers. Voted as Defenceman of the Year at the Belfast Giants Awards, Mitch Ganzak joins me to chat about his season and what he thinks is going to happen against the Panthers. We look at that seeding, how that final table ended, and we look at all the games taking place this weekend as everyone strives to get to that final four. We also look at all of those awards, and we're joined by Alan Price as a representative of Boomerang Corner to tell us about the Golden Boomerang. Our good friend John O'Bullard joins us to look ahead to this weekend's games against the Nottingham Panthers and what he thinks will happen as the Panthers strive not to fall short of yet another Final Four. All here on the podcast that fully buys in to the race to 20. Go on, Nicker, you can do it. This is A View from the Bridge. The regular season is now complete and the Belfast Giants have finished fourth in the Elite League table. Three games to talk about from last weekend before we get into the business end of the Elite League season. The playoffs are just around the corner. We have a lot of chat about that coming up. But first up, how are you, Mr. David McGimsey?
I'm not bad, Paddy. Looking forward to tonight's chat and rounding out the regular season.
And Mr. Aaron Kernahan, you've been back at cricket practice tonight.
Yeah, we decided to go outside, which quite possibly might have been the stupidest idea I think anyone's ever had, but sure.
Bit dark for that. White ball or red?
We wear a black kit to train in. The sky's black. We're using a dark red ball, but sure.
Danger. Anyway, as I said, the Belfast Giants rounded off their Elite League regular season with three games at the SSC Arena. First up, we'll talk about that game against the Cardiff Devils. Of course, the Cardiff Devils, if they had won their final three games, were on course for a top seed in the playoffs. But they travelled the SSC Arena off the back of two wins at Ice Arena Wales and were subject to a 5-2 defeat at the hands of the Giants. Of course, the Giants were short on Craig Peacock, who we spoke about last week. The Devils saw fit to cite for his incident with Stefan Hogarth. That probably put a bit of a fire in the bellies of the Giants to gain a little bit of revenge on that. And David Rutherford opened the scoring in the first period, 13 minutes into that. Joey Martin made it 1-1 before Mike Raja, Mike Forney, Mike Wilson made it 4-1 to the Belfast Giants. Joey Martin on the power play gave the Cardiff Devils a little bit of hope before an empty net goal from Adam Keefe rounded off the scoring and put a severe dent in those hopes of the Cardiff Devils fans. And Aaron, that was the sort of performance we want to see from the Giants at home, and maybe a sort of performance we haven't seen all season.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we've seen that kind of performance in bursts across the year. You know, I can think back to, actually, Cardiff seemed to have been on the end of it a couple of times, you know, with the 2-0 or 3-0? I can't remember what the final, whether the Nickerson's empty net goal was the second or the third in that game. I think it was 2-0, but we've had some great performances against Cardiff at home. For whatever reason, you know, and I'm sure we'll dissect this maybe later in the show, or perhaps, you know, in the off season or something like that. But for whatever reason, we've actually been quite good against the top teams at home, except the Steelers, who we've been pretty much struggled against all year. But, you know, we've beaten all the top teams as we expect. It's been the games against the Manchesters and the Coventries, the teams that are sort of down the bottom end that seem to have been the problem. But, you know, this was a pretty nice, you know, it was nice to get one over on the Devils and to shut a few of them up. Their fans maybe were a bit mouthy after the weekend over at Ice Arena Wales, so it was nice to get one over on them.
Davey, what about that, getting one over them? My memory of that overtime win for the Devils at Ice Arena Wales was that it was celebrated by the Devils like they'd won the Stanley Cup. Do you think that got into the heads of the Giants, and especially with the Peacock thing as well, and they were out there for a bit of revenge?
I think there's an element of that, yes. You can forgive the Coventry or the Cardiff Devils fans for celebrating, because it kept them, you know, within touching distance of the championship. But, you know, the Belfast Giants' professionalism wanted them, you know, they wanted to go out there and get the 2 points, especially in front of their home fans. And, excuse me, a bit like the two games in Cardiff, the first sort of 10 minutes were feeling each other out. And, you know, the Giants got the go ahead goal. Okay, Cardiff came back. But over the last number of weeks, we've had that ability to strike back quite quick, and we came back within a couple of minutes and was settled. That really settled us. We had a very, very good second period, and we went on to win the game comfortably enough in the third. You know, Cardiff, I think they pulled their goalie with, what, maybe three or 4 minutes to...
5 minutes left?
Five minutes to go. Right. And had a real good goal at it, but and got one back, but just as it was, the Giants just had too much in spur that night. And I think, as you say, fired up from feeling a bit hard done by from the previous weekend, when I think 1 point out of four wasn't really a good return or a fair return for the efforts left in Cardiff, and 2 points well deserved.
Aaron, Mike Forney scored in this game. He also went on to score in the game we're about to talk about, one of the games we're about to talk about at Fife. He's been on a rich vein of scoring form.
He has, and he's actually, it's been much more than that. You know, it's been his all-around game in the last probably month or so has been probably where we expected it from him. In fairness, I think that overall, the team overall has really turned a corner since that little wobble we had around about just after Christmas time or January time, where we lost four or five games. But he's been fantastic, and he showed what he can do. And hopefully, you know, that I think he had a few personal issues off the ice and things like that, which I think have obviously had an impact there. And he's settled in again. He's clicked with a few guys. I don't think we can take away that Chris Higgins sort of was regularly in the side alongside him, and they have clicked a few times over the year. So it's been good for him just to play consistently alongside some of the same guys and get onto a good run. And let's hope that he can bring it into next season.
Well, yes, it was a great win for the Belfast Giants to take that win over the Devils 5-2. And the highlights of that game, well worth watching, Belfast Giants TV. With Sis and Johnny. Final two games of the regular season at the SSC Arena came against the Fife Flyers Friday night and Saturday night. We'll talk about these in one sort of group. The Friday night win was 5-3 over the Flyers, and the Saturday night win was 5-1. In the 5-3 game, Michael Doerr actually opened the scoring for the Fife Flyers with Nico Cecchetti doubling their lead in the second period. But that man Forney pulled it back to one goal. And David Rutherford, a lovely finish past David Brown to make it 2-2 before the race to 20 was reignited by Matt Nickerson, making it 3-2. Jonathan Boxall added to that before Nico Cecchetti gave the Fife Flyers hope on the power play when they'd pulled David Brown from the net. But with only 2 minutes left, it was left to James Demarai to put it in the empty net and round out that 5-3 win. On the Saturday night, it was a 5-1 win for the Giants. And it was Mike Raja, another guy who's on a scoring a hell of a lot for the Giants at the minute. He opened the scoring, followed by Vandermeer, and then Raja got a second. Shane Stockton gave the Flyers hope of that goal to make it 3-1 before Chris Beach and then Colin Shields made it 5-1. Davey, three games, 15 goals scored and only six conceded. The Giants, you know, in these two games, particularly the 10 goals across two games against the Flyers, are finding their scoring boots.
Yeah, and a lot of pretty goals and a lot of pretty plays. I think the Friday night against Fife, we didn't come out brilliantly in the first sort of 14, 15 minutes of the game. And obviously across the piece as well, 3 from 5 on the penalty kills, not a great return. And we turned that round on the Saturday night, obviously got a few power play goals of our own. Coach was able to have a look at them, obviously sitting himself out again, having a look at things. He's able to change things on the playboard, and they obviously affected the game more on the Saturday night. I thought fairly decent performances from the team. Say, good to see Shields. Shields getting himself a couple of points, going up to 499 with in a Belfast Giants shirt. Absolutely phenomenal rate. But you know, it's all about Big Nickerson at the minute, isn't it? He's came back in the last sort of four games, played really well. His plus minus is really, really healthy. He's got himself a goal. He's got a few assists in there. He's been on the ice a lot, and he's doing really well in there. So I suppose the story from the weekend for me is, you know, that the options now that Derek Walter has going into the playoffs is seems to have a fairly fit roster apart from Ada Palm. I'm not always exactly sure what Benny's status is, but Ada Palm's obviously only one out with on the injured reserve. So, you know, a good full strong squad for to get wired into Nottingham at the weekend.
Matt Nickerson's the name you brought up there, Davey, and Aaron. We've all seen the video. I think you were a key part in that as well. The race to 20, fantastic piece of work.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, I've watched it a couple of times, and it's actually, you know, it was hard to keep a straight face while we were making it. I'm watching it back. I think the guys that, you know, Neil and Johnny and all have done an absolutely fantastic job taking the idea, running with it and making it, I think, even better than the idea felt whenever it came up. And as for, you know, the big man himself, he's an absolute legend with some of the stuff he's come off with in the interviews there. And he's really added it's a whole different side to things. And, you know, guys like that keep the atmosphere light in the dressing room and going into the likes of the playoffs, having someone like that, you know, we missed him when he wasn't playing, I think. Not just for the physical presence and the size out there, but it, you know, this kind of thing, if he's not in the dressing room, you maybe aren't keeping the guys loose with sort of things like this. And I think it's adding a lot to the team.
Davey, if you don't have the angle, dangle.
Yeah, I think he's, that was one of the, that's probably the highlight of the video for me, you know, something like that. The big man's very self-effacing, you know, he's came in there and Walser for me on that video, obviously didn't know the question was coming. And, the big man lurking in the background makes him change his answer very quick. You know, at the same time, you know, you look back at his four goals and they're four classy goals. And it's just a shame that he missed that big section of the season where our form dipped as well. And, you know, he was missed through that run of bad form. And as Aaron says, he's been a part of keeping the guys loose and coming back in. And hockey's about, you know, it's a game at the end of the day. And I know it's these guys' profession and it's their living and all, but it's a game. It has to be fun to go to the rink every day and play. And if there's no fun, you know, you'll find teams crumble. And a lot of the Giants' upturn in form will be down to the likes of Nicker coming back into the locker room and, you know, just making things a bit of a spring clean and just making things a bit more fresh and fun for the guys coming back to the rink.
Coming back to the game, Aaron, you know, on the power play, some of the goals were really key and trying to get those special teams moving. Of course, the Fife Flyers replaced their netminder and put in what's his name, Craig Douglas. Yes, put him in the third period. But it's nonetheless, the Giants still had the work, and coming into the playoffs, they're showing some good form.
Yeah, I mean, TV touched on it earlier. I think we did come out a bit flat in the first of the games, but it was good to see how we sort of built into that game on the first night, and then coming into the second game, we actually carried it on, you know, very nicely from where we'd finished off the night before. So, you know, it's quite interesting that obviously we're playing two games against the Panthers this coming weekend, and hopefully we won't have the slow start in the first game, but, you know, hopefully we can build across the six periods towards getting the result that we need.
Davey, Jim Vandermeer, man of the match, he's been excellent since he's come in.
Especially on the power play there on Saturday night, he was very, very good. He just gives a solidity to it all. As I think it was Sizz, was either we're chatting with him or he was on the podcast the other week where he talks about, you know, Vandermeer's position on the ice, that he's always facing up the ice. You know, he always sees the whole picture, and he's brought in a calmness, a calm assurance. He's always in the right place. He's very strong in the boards. He didn't have his best game on the first night in Cardiff when we were down there. But, you know, you're allowed the odd night off. You know, across I think he's played about 15 games maybe for us now. Yeah. And he's been in the main, been very, very solid. And I thought across the weekend, both games against Fife, he was very good, especially on the Saturday night. Just as I said there, calm, poised on the puck, has a great pass. He couple of stretch passes on Saturday night, we just that clicked and we couldn't get the goal scoring opportunity from them. He has that out of D as well, a bit like Robbie Sandrock for a couple of seasons ago, where he was linking up with Lloyd on the stretch pass, something the guys are obviously looking at. So expecting our big players, at times let us down over the season in big games. Not a criticism, especially from Steve Thornton in big games. Our big players this weekend have to be our best players. Your Jim Vandermeers, your Chris Beaches, your James Demarais, they have to be our star turns this weekend. Mm-hmm. And Vandermeers playing very, very well at the moment.
One last point to make as well. The highlights from these games, the 5-3 and the 5-1 win over the Flyers, you can get them from Belfast Giants TV. Aaron, you've been part of it the last few weeks doing the remote sort of interviews in the tunnel. Davey, well, the game next Monday is going to be Premier Sports. So those are the last couple of games from the guys at Belfast Giants TV with Sis and Johnny. It's been, their coverage has been phenomenal.
I can't say enough good things about Giants TV because, for one, as an exile, if you like, as someone who can't get to the SSE as much as I would dearly love to be there, you know, if I lived in Belfast, I would be there. I wouldn't miss a game. You know, geography has me where I am. Those guys keep me connected to the club I love. They keep me connected to the city I love. You know, this is, you talked about it last week about it's not just a sports team because it's your city that you're cheering for. And these guys keep us connected. And okay, I would sit and do the stats off Sports Lounge and all, but to be able to sit live and watch the game with all your mates are watching it at the arena, it's brilliant. The crack from Sis and Johnny and then Nicker when he was in on it, whenever we've got the SSE and the guys have let us be involved, the wee things like that just are so much fun. And, you know, it's a shame for me this weekend, the Premier aren't doing the Nottingham game and the Giants are able to do the Monday game because both sets of fans would get to see both games then, you know.
Yeah.
Not everyone can get to the arena. Gary, if you're listening, Neil, if you're listening. You know, not everybody can get to the arena. Hockey fans want to be there live. And if they can be there, they'll be there. If they can't be there, give them a product to watch at home. It would have been fantastic if I'd have been. I'm hoping to get to Nottingham. It's going to be a game day decision. I've got family stuff that I have to attend to. If I can get away, I'll be there. But if not, I can't see that game. I have to wait the Sunday morning, download it to watch it. You know, let us see the games. Like the Belfast Giants, let us see the games. And thank you to Dave and Neil and Johnny and all those guys that put the production together and spend many, many hours every week putting highlight packages together and just countless hours rigging up and taking down after games. Just thank you.
I have to add my voice to that because obviously I'm in a similar situation here in Manchester. And if it wasn't for the hard work of the likes of Dave and Neil and Johnny and Sis and Shane Johnson on the comms and everybody else who's involved in that, then, you know, we wouldn't get to see the games as much as we do, and we wouldn't be able to talk about it as inanely as we do on this show. But it's the product's gone from strength to strength this season with the replays and all the bits and pieces on the game night show and all that sort of stuff and top work, because it's not just the webcast that do all like the videos and like we'll talk about the Race for 20 thing earlier on and even in the arena, all the captions and the videos that goes up on the screen, all the hard work of the guys up at Belfast Giants TV and also throwing like so Matt MacGyver and all of the music and Dave McCammon doing that. Everybody pulls their weight on this and it's brilliant. But when it comes to the coverage of Giants TV, second to none. And Aaron, you get to see how they do it week in, week out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I generally get to the arena sort of 45 minutes before the game, roughly, and walk in. And, you know, those guys have, as you say, have been there for probably a couple of hours. You know, we're working on the remote interviews. We tried it earlier in the season with a fixed line microphone. I complained that it meant that I couldn't get, you know, where I wanted to be for things. So the minute they rigged up a wireless one for me and, mm-hmm. Dave Laurie was in, you know, hours before the game, trying it out and testing it and making sure it worked. Obviously, as you guys know, it didn't quite go to plan, but, you know, but that just shows, you know, just a little example like that shows, you know, what they're doing and maybe people don't see that or don't realize that.
Highlights of the game, of course, as we said, from those lads at Belfast Giants TV. Well, the Sheffield Steelers have claimed top seeding in the playoffs following the completion of the regular season. Now, I put a poll out earlier on. I've decided to relent on my notion to ban him this week. So please welcome Mark Hitchcock back to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Mark, it seems that the Steelers for the second year in a row have found a means to keep their nerve as all around were falling by the wayside. They've now collected back-to-back top seedings, as we put it. What was key to it for you?
I
nope, changed my mind. Let's move on. This week, he was given the D-Man of the Year award at the Giants awards dinner. And Mitch Ganczak has shown a lot of grit and ability on the blue line. I got to speak to him earlier today ahead of this week's playoff matchup. Delighted to be joined by Mitch Ganczak. How are you doing, Mitch?
I'm doing well. Can't complain.
You, on Sunday night, were awarded the Defenseman of the Year at the Belfast Giants awards dinner. What's it like to receive a award like that for all your hard work through the season?
It's an honor. Most players, almost all players, you know, feel that way. Very humbling. As you know, we have some really good defense on the team, former NHL players, our coach, Matt Nickerson has played well, everyone I could go down the line and name off all the defensemen. So for the fans and whoever voted to pick me, it's an honor and very humbling.
Without being too modest, what do you think it was about your game that actually set you apart and put you in this position?
Honestly, I don't know really if there's any one thing. I mean, I don't really do anything too special. I just try to go out there and play my game. I've had a few lucky shots where they happen to go in, put up a little bit of points, but mostly, I mean, I don't think it was anything in particular. You know, you have good teammates, good players around you. It makes things easier and makes you look good. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, as far as one single aspect, I don't know. I don't think I really did anything too special, but I guess the people who voted me saw something they liked, so thank you.
What's been your thoughts on the season as a whole? Like, this is your first year in the Elite League with the Belfast Giants. Now, you came in here, you're what we like to call a hard-nosed defenseman. You don't back down from very much. How's been your whole take on the season?
I mean, pleasantly surprised, being my first year over here. Not playing here before, there's kind of a stigma of the league. But when I got here, it's really good hockey. Really good hockey, and it actually suits my style of play, like you said, hard-nosed and doesn't shy away from the physical play. That's kind of North American. That's the way I grew up as a defenseman, be tough. And so, I mean, I enjoy myself. I like the hockey. It was good hockey. And, yeah, I was happy being here all year.
Unfortunately, we fell short on the league title. Was it difficult to get your head into that sort of mindset of, you know, that over here it is all about the league title? It's not, you know, not as much focus put on the playoffs?
I mean, not till after Christmas, you know, in the beginning of the season, we were playing well, so we didn't really think too much about it. But then when we started going through those struggles right after Christmas, and you realize, you know, this is the main trophy. This is what everyone looks for. You know, the regular season winner is the champion. And it's a little bit of an adjustment. You know, every game counts, every game matters, and you're not playing for playoff seeding to win a championship after the playoffs. It's the regular season. So it's definitely different, but, you know, I like it. Every game matters, which I think makes the competition that much better.
And this season, you've had a situation where at times we were playing quite short on D, very short on D. Did that really take its toll, especially when you're, as you say, every game matters? You can't really, there's no nights that you would take it, not that you would, but there's no nights where you can think, you know, we don't have to do it as hard this time because we can pick it up elsewhere. When you're playing short on D, you're getting that much more ice time. You're having to put in that little bit extra. It really takes its toll.
Yeah, it does. I mean, in a lot of sports, it's a war of attrition. Everyone goes through injuries and has setbacks or short players. And then, you know, there's times when you're healthy and players have to sit out. But yeah, when we were short, you know, 4 or 5 D there for a few games, a stretch there, it does take its toll. Especially when you're playing against teams like Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham. I mean, all the teams, you know, we want to play an up-tempo, fast-paced, physical pace. And when you're out there for 25, 30 plus minutes, it's sometimes you have to reserve your energy and not necessarily play the way you want to, which can be frustrating. But, you know, that's sports. Injuries happen, players get hurt, and you just kind of have to fight through it.
Fighting that, does that come down to stamina, or is it more concentration? Or is it a mixture of both, I suppose, trying to keep your mind in the game while your body keeps moving?
I mean, no, it is a mixture of both. You know, when your legs get tired and your body gets tired, your your brain starts to go as well. So it's a focus, you know, mentally be sharp and be focused. But I mean, yeah, in hockey and basketball, soccer, football, you got to have the endurance as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's both. I'd say it's both for sure.
And then, of course, Derek Welser being a defenseman and also the player coach, has that been beneficial? Do you feel that he has a bit more of a defensive mindset and helps you guys out?
Well, I mean, he's with us all the time on the bench, so there's always communication. So as far as defensive coaching and being coached as a defenseman, nothing changed for me. Mm-hmm. He was always hands-on. He was going through everything we were going through. You know, we were doing it together, him and the D-Core. And I mean, I can't imagine what it's like being a player coach. So knowing where he's played and the work he's put into it, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
Then that's something you want to think about doing in the future?
Oh, you're not the first person to ask me that. I mean, I'll be 32 here. I don't know if I'm going to play for one more year, five more years. I just take it one year at a time and kind of go where life takes me, whatever's best for myself and my family.
Have you enjoyed your time in Belfast?
I have. I mean, this is my sixth year overseas and been to a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
The first that my wife has been over with me, which has been tremendous, having her share this experience with me, and she's pregnant, so...
Oh, congratulations.
She's enjoyed herself too. Like I said at the banquet, the fans, the city, the team, Steve Thornton, everyone with the organization has made living here very, very easy. So, I mean, yes, me, my wife, we've definitely enjoyed our stay here in Belfast.
Well, there's one more job to do. And of course, this weekend, we take on the Nottingham Panthers in the quarterfinals of the playoffs, so that chance to get to the Final Four the following weekend. Now, we went to the NIC a few weeks ago and a bit of a flourish in the third period took the win. What are you expecting from the Panthers this weekend?
I mean, every time we play them, they've been close games for the most part, except for maybe the last game we were in there, but they've taken the play to us at times in the season, and then we've taken it to them. It's going to be, I mean, it's playoffs. Everyone wants to get to that Final Four and have the chance to raise that trophy. So we're expecting playoff hockey, hard-nosed hockey, tough hockey, and we're going to have to get to the hard areas in front of their net and protect our net and stay out of the box, which hopefully, knock on wood, we can do this weekend.
And how easy is it to make that step up into that playoff hockey mindset? Is it just a case of switch it on and away you go?
I mean, to an extent, yes, you know, from where I played, when you know it's playoffs, the intensity just raises just another level. But honestly, the past month or so, when we realized we still had a chance, possibly a slim chance of winning the league, we've been playing desperate hockey. We've been playing better, playing what we call in the room, you know, playoff hockey, where every game matters. So I don't think, you know, it'll change that much. We've been playing pretty well at a high level the last month or so. So hopefully we can continue with it and, you know, find ourselves in the Final Four.
Thanks very much to Mitch. Around the league, let's have a look at the final league table. Sheffield Steelers, top of the pile, 72 points from 52 games. Of course, they've all played 52 games, so I'll not say that time and time again. The Cardiff Devils, 2 points behind on 70. The Brayhead Clan, 3 points back on 67. Then we come 1 point behind the Clan, 66. We had to win our games against the Fife Flyers in order to confirm that we'd finish ahead of the Nottingham Panthers. And we did. We were 4 points ahead of them. That's 62 for the Panthers. The Fife Flyers, 55, alongside the Dundee Stars on 55, but the Flyers had more regular season wins. The Coventry Blaze took the last spot in the playoffs, 8th place, 51 points. The Manchester Storm, their first season, 20 wins, 44 points. And the Edinburgh Capitals, 10 wins, 25 points. The Brayhead...
Wins before Christmas.
Sorry?
And they had 9 of those wins before Christmas.
That's true.
Yeah, I think they lost their last 20 games. They're just make weights. It's a disgrace, actually, if you think about it. It's not even with the parity there is in the league for a team to lose 20 in a row. It's not really good enough.
Well, you say 20 in a row. The Brayhead Clan had a bit of a rocky start to Sunday's game. They needed to take 2 regulation wins off the Edinburgh Capitals in order to win the Gardner Conference. And on Sunday, I think at one point it was 3-3 going into the final period, Davey. They got it. They've topped the Gardner Conference, and fair play to them.
Yep, they had, I think we talked about it last week as well, they had a lot of adversity with injuries and stuff over the last number of months. Graham Finnerty was going to try and get the skates on himself. They were in such a desperate straits there a few weeks ago. And, they came through and they've got themselves a good... It's the 5 Flyers they match up against now, isn't it? So they've given themselves an opportunity of getting to Nottingham. And that'll be a good matchup over the 2 games. I expect it to be a very, very tight affair. I think that's a real coin toss. Could go either way.
It's interesting, actually, considering the way the machinations of the conference system with the league system and the fact that if you finish top of the conference, you're going to be this seed. And it's actually turned out that 1 through to 8 are exactly the way the seedings will be, despite the conference wins. The playoff matchups, Sheffield Steelers will play the Coventry Blaze. The Cardiff Devils will play the Dundee Stars. As you say, Davey, the Brayhead Clan will play the 5 Flyers and we will face the Nottingham Panthers. One thing to note is that the Cardiff Devils have actually given up their second leg home advantage, probably to ensure they only travel once to Dundee without needing to do the return journey, Aaron, and you can understand why.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a brave decision, but in a 2-leg game, I mean, I know that Coach Walser was very keen for ourselves to get home advantage in the second game. I haven't seen our form across the season. I'm not entirely sure why, but I think over a 2-game aggregate series, as it were, I don't think it's maybe quite as important as it were in a 7-game series where you needed to win maybe that 7th game to get through.
Davey?
I still would prefer to have home advantage just for the sake that you're sleeping in your own bed the night before and stuff, We'll travel down to Nottingham on Saturday. We'll be back in Belfast on Sunday. The guys will be well rested. Nottingham have to travel to us. It's just that one, that opportunity. We've got to come away from Nottingham in the game still and hope that what we've done in the last 3 games in the SSE, score 5 goals, concede few goals, give up little opportunities. We've got to just do that on Easter Monday, as it will be. And hopefully Brooksy can, fill that old barn up and get a good atmosphere and get on top of Nottingham quickly. I've got good goal scoring, but we'll talk about that later in the show. Absolutely. No doubt. And it's going to be a real battle.
We'll talk about that Belfast Nottingham game in a short while. We'll have John O'Bullard from the Cats Whiskers coming to join us as well. But of the other 3 matchups, Aaron, give us your predictions.
Predictions? I'm going to have to.
Oof, outside it. Well, not obviously the Belfast Giants is your prediction for that one, but give us the other 3.
The Blaze have had a bit of a number on the Steelers, but I can't really see past the Steelers, I think, across the 2 games. So I'll go with the Steelers. The Devils and the Stars, I think, again, the Devils are just probably that little bit too good for that one. I think I'm going to go with Fife, though, against Brayhead.
Ooh, throwing a bit of a spanner in the works.
There has to be. Yeah, I think that if you look back at the last lot of years, there's always been one sort of upset or one team that maybe you don't expect to get there. And you probably have the Clan down as slight favourites there. So, but I just have a feeling that, Fife played very well against ourselves at the weekend there and maybe deserved a little bit more, especially out of the first game. But I fancy them. I quite like the team that Fife have got set up over there.
Well, Fife, of course, made it a couple of years ago. Hull Stingrays made it last year. Davey, what are your predictions for the playoff Final 4 this season?
I think Clan will come through the All-Scottish battle there. I think that the Dundee Stars are going to take Cardiff out by the roots. And I think Sheffield will just have enough over the 2 legs to do away with Coventry. I think it'll be a really, really tight series, those 2 games. Just depends on how good a goaltending Sheffield get, how good a goaltending Coventry get, and whether anybody loses their head. Coventry have had their number this season. There's always that risk, the Big Doug, collective exhale, as he talks about after you win the league. Can you keep it going? And it'll be difficult games for Sheffield Steelers, but they're deep. They've got good coaching. You know, I expect them probably just to have enough across the two legs to come away with the win and go down to Nottingham. Obviously, I hope and pray that our own team will come through that fixture, but that would be my lineup. Giants, Steelers, Clan, and Stars.
I'm going to press you on the Stars. Why?
I think that the Stars have been up and down this season, but I think they've got good goal scoring. I think Cardiff over the last number of weeks have looked tired. You know, even their press releases after the Challenge Cup was like, well, that's the season over. You know, I just don't know that they're playing as well as perhaps their fans, first of all, believe. But I'd like it from a BFF as well. I'd like Mark Lefebvre to come away with a bit of success from a season that started really well, tailed off in the middle and just wasn't as successful as it could have been. They've got some good players there. Goaltending's going to be a big thing for them. I know I've said that in the Sheffield matchup as well. If Koenig can, you know, just get another two good games out of Trevor Koenig before he's sent out to pasture, I think that'll be a great way for him to finish his round his career out.
Interesting. Well, yes. I'll have to go. I'll throw in my own predictions here, will I? Of course, Belfast Giants. I'm going to be quite boring. I think it's going to be the top four seeds. I think it's going to be Sheffield, Cardiff, Brayhead, and Belfast progressing in this one, which will make it a hell of a battle when we get to Nottingham. I'd like to see.
If that were the case, sorry, Paddy, to interrupt there. If that were the case, what way do the semi-finals then line up?
We would end up against the Sheffield Steelers, and then the Cardiff Devils would take on the Brayhead Clan. So then we would face the Brayhead Clan in the final. Is how it would work, in my opinion. I don't see it being. I'd like to see a surprise. I'd like to see the likes of Dundee or Fife. Well, actually, much of a bunch just to see Coventry there. They're the reigning champions with regards to the playoffs. But I'd like to see Dundee or Fife there. But what would be very fun is when we knock out the Nottingham Panthers and they don't make it for a third year in a row. But we'll come back to that. What I want to talk about now, gents, is the Giants Awards. The Giants Awards dinner took place while everybody else was finishing off their season. The Giants Awards dinner took place on Sunday night. And we'll have a look at the awards that were handed out. First of all, I'll run through them. The most valuable player was James Demarai, while the coach's player of the year was Chris Beach. The player's player of the year was Adam Keefe. He subsequently got back onto the stage and gave up his player's player of the year award to Jason Taff Ellery, for all his hard work through the season. I'll come back to that in a moment. The leading scorer, Mike Raja. Community service, Adam Keefe. Not community service for Adam Keefe. Community service award for Adam Keefe. Unsung hero was Jonathan Boxall, while the fans' favourite, of course, Adam Keefe. Forward of the year, another award for Mike Raja. And we heard from him earlier on, defenceman of the year was Mitch Ganzak. But a special achievement award, you hear his voice every game you go to. You might not know his name. Mr. Graham Murphy, Aaron, and a well-deserved award for, was it 13 years of service?
Yeah, 13 years of announcing who scored the goal, who got the assists, the penalties. You know, one of those things that you just come to, and shouting icing, actually. How can we forget that? But, it's one of those things, we sort of touched on it earlier, it's one of those things you take for granted, and you go to a game, someone announces the goals, you don't really think about who it is or whatever, but, you know, he's been volunteering in that role for 13 years. I genuinely don't think he's missed a game. I can't remember maybe anyone else stepping in to do that over the years. So fair play and very well deserved. And I hope that, I believe he's moving with the family to Canada. So I wish that, him and the family very well.
Absolutely. We all wish him well, like you say, for 13 years, game in, game out. And Davey, let's say everybody probably knows his voice, but maybe didn't know his name.
Yeah, I remember his first few games and him getting a bit of stick back on the old Kingdom of the Giants forum and the guest book and stuff at the time as it was. And, his voice, the homegrown voice replacing that of maybe, I think there was Canadian voices in the penalty box prior to that. And Aaron has done it, I think, once. Then you do it down in Dundalk, maybe, Aaron. It's not an easy gig. Is that right?
Yeah, I did do that, and I've done the other bits and pieces as well. But I find that actually you're probably right. It's that was probably the more almost scary. The general announcing's grand, but that one is there's a little bit more pressure on you to get things right there.
But credit, absolute credit to him. he worked into it, and he, you know, I sound like Simon Cowell here. He made it his own, you know. And all wish him every success in Canada. I hope he has a great time, and hopefully he'll not be a stranger to the SSE over the years. And just congratulations, mate, on great service to the club. So many great volunteers around. You know, you take Julianne in the score box as well. You know, I think she's been there since day dot doing this sort of thing.
Yep.
The volunteers that make the thing tick.
Absolutely.
You know, behind the scenes, goal judges, Michael doing the penalty boxes, whoever does the home penalty, all those little things, Lynn making sure all the volunteers have a cup of tea, all those wee things that go on behind the scenes that nobody ever sees, 50-50 sellers, all the bits and pieces. But this is about Graham, and, you know, he's been a fantastic servant of the club now for 13 years. As we say, congratulations to you and thanks for all your hard work.
Any other awards, Aaron, stand out to you?
you've trapped me with that one. No, I think most of them were pretty fair. I suppose Mike Radja, in a way, was maybe one as forward of the year that people might not have thought about. He's one of those guys who maybe doesn't stand out, but you look at it, he put 30 goals up.
Yep.
You know, there's not too many people put 30 goals up. You know, I spoke to him after the second Fife game at the weekend, and you know, he made a great point. You know, he doesn't score the 30 goals without the help of the guys around him. But, you know, he knows how to finish. He knows how to put the puck in the net. You know, I think we haven't really talked about him a huge amount, but looking back over the year, he's been a pretty key player for us. And I think it was a bit of a surprise, but I haven't thought about it and looked at it. I think it's actually a very good selection.
I agree. I think Mike Radja obviously came in as the guy to be that goal scorer. You put the puck on his tape and he's defined the goal, and he has been finding the goal. We spoke about Mike Forney earlier on, being able to, on a rich vein of scoring form. There's been times this season when it's all been about Mike Radja and he's been finding the puck in. Davey, anything else there stand out for yourself?
Yeah, I suppose the one for me was the classy move by Kiefer to give his Players' Player Award. Fantastic award to win as the Players' Player of the Year. You know, to be voted by your teammates as the best of the bunch is a great honour. And Kiefer does, you know, a sizzle talking commentary about blocking shots with his head. He leads by example. He's that go-to guy whenever you need a bit of energy. He's dropped the gloves with some of the biggest guys in the league and hasn't been found wanting. But to stand up and realize that it's bigger than you and the TAF makes the whole thing tick. You know, they come in every day, their gear's dry, their gear's clean, their locker room's pristine. If they go to away rinks that the locker rooms aren't so great, TAF's already been there hours in advance and got it all set up and has made it as homely as they can. TAF has been, we're talking about Graham being a servant of the club, TAF has been an unbelievable servant of the Belfast Giants, albeit not in a volunteer manner. You know, he does everything for those guys, and there's not one little detail that they can be found wanting, because TAF wants them to have every opportunity just to go and perform. And he is an absolute stalwart of this club. And for Kiefer to stand up and go, you know what, the players think I'm the best, but TAF, you know what, you're the best, mate, come on up and get this. Just a pure touch of class by, I come to expect nothing less from Adam Keefe these days. You know, the captain is just, he's Belfast, it's in his veins now. And for him to do that, to recognise TAF and for TAF to accept that humbly, it was absolutely brilliant.
Hear, hear. That was an absolutely brilliant move by Kiefer. And like you say, one that we've now come to expect from the captain. But TAF does such an incredible job week in, week out, day in, day out for the Giants. Well-deserved award, as were most of them. James Demarai getting the MVP and Jonathan Boxall getting the unsung hero and Mitch Gantzak, as we said, getting the Defenseman of the Year. But these awards that took place on Sunday night were not the only awards available to these players. And one of the other awards that was handed out after the game on Saturday was the Golden Boomerang. Now, you may be asking to yourself, what is the Golden Boomerang? Well, I got to speak earlier on with Alan Price and to find out just exactly that. Mr. Alan Price, how are you?
I'm very well, Paddy. How are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Listen, we've got you on here to talk about the Golden Boomerang. So first of all, tell us, what is the Golden Boomerang?
Well, the Golden Boomerang, Paddy, it's a little idea that Boomerang Corner kind of cooked up in the last kind of few weeks of the season. Thought to ourselves, you know, there's a few guys that have particularly stood out to us. A lot of people know on match nights, kind of the chants going around and all that, who might be maybe some of the more popular ones. But we thought we wanted to do an award that wasn't going to be, you know, kind of like your regular player of the year sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't who we thought was the best player for the entire season. It was who Boomerang Corner basically thought, you know, put their best in, night out, would very rarely, you would say, even consider that they would take a minute or even a shift off. And basically, we came down to a few guys. It came down to mainly Mark Garside and Jonathan Boxall. And Boxy came out on top, basically.
Well, Mr. Boxall. So why Jonathan Boxall in particular?
Well, I think the fans know the main chant for Mr. Boxall, so I think they know what Boomerang Corner thinks of Boxy. But anyone that goes to the SSE on a game night, or, you know, has the privilege of flying over and seeing the guys play away, see that Boxy, he really doesn't take a shift off. That guy flies around. He's basically, most folks would probably say, he's an energizer bunny. There's no time you see that guy stop. So isn't he gets in the nitty gritty areas. He never stops the puck. I was away at the Cardiff doubleheader, running to yourself and a few of the other guys, of course. And there was one time on the penalty kill, he was bouncing from guy to guy, just following that puck, not giving guys an inch. There was one where he flew over to the right-hand side of the zone and then basically spun on a dime and threw his body the other direction to try and block a puck. That is the sort of guy that, well, as Belfast Giants fans as a whole, you absolutely love. And I think that was probably the sort of thing that really kind of clinched it for Boxy.
As the inaugural winner of the Golden Boomerang. So he gets a Golden Boomerang, I guess?
He did indeed. He got it presented the other night there after the second Fife game on the Saturday night when he was doing his charity work, getting his lovely ginger locks cut off. One of the Boomerang Corner guys, Liam, his nephew's got the privilege to present it to him. He didn't find out that it was actually a Golden Boomerang on the night because there was so much going on. But a few of the guys happened to be at the awards night there earlier in the week. And they got to have a chat with him, and he was quite taken aback by actually it being a Golden Boomerang. But no, he was really pleased. And let's just say there was some very nice things said from him about, you know, not just Boomerang Corner, but the whole fans being so supportive of him, not only for the charity stuff, but just, you know, the whole season, basically.
I think that chant's going to have to change now. He's had all the locks cut off.
A few folks were comparing him to like an 80s policeman and stuff like that. a few folks might have to think about changing the chant, but I'd say if Boxy has his way, it'll be well on the way to be grown back by the start of next season.
That's excellent. Well, what about, give us a bit of insight to Boomerang Corner. What does it mean to you guys? Is this the first full season of it actually being there and actually having it? And it seems to have gained strength after strength, and a lot of people getting involved in the chants and the songs and the banners. It just seems like a wonderful place to be.
It really is, Paddy. You know, we know with such basically a big barn, we're very lucky to have such a big barn, so we are, and have all the facilities there. You know, not everybody's as into it as probably us folks up in Boomerang Corner. So they maybe don't know the chants, all that sort of stuff. But it's like you say, this is probably like the first full proper season of it going. It kind of came in at the tail end of the previous season, so it didn't. Everybody was like, this is a good idea, let's try and keep it going. But the thing is, again, you know, everybody looks at Boomerang Corner and, you know, in my point of view as a group, you know, we're not there to be kind of the focal point of a game night or anything like that. We are kind of just wanting to be kind of maybe the wee spark that ignites some stuff. Like you say, the chants, the banners, all that sort of stuff. And it seems to, like you say, it's going from strength to strength. Most nights now, it's pretty packed.
Yeah.
So it is, especially there, the Fife games at the weekend, it was pretty much standing room only, so it was. But the one other wee thing I have to say as well about it, if folks want to come up and chat to us, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks seem to sometimes think that Boomerang Corner is just that wee tiny section right up at the top near doors 15 and 16. It's the whole block right down to the floor, right where the drummers are. So don't be afraid. Come and make some noise. You know, it's not a click. It's not anything like that. We're just a bunch of fans wanting to have a bit of a laugh. And the space is there. Use it.
I think that's what that's the real message there, isn't it? It's that Boomerang Corner wants to be a catalyst for what goes on, as you know, and try to push on the chants and the songs and the support around the arena that for the guys that are on the ice. And I know from being in amongst yous, and every time I've been back home, it's been the crack in there has been phenomenal. And it's like you say, it's not a clique, it's not a group, it's that whole block. It's getting people involved, and it's trying to start those chants and those songs to support. Because at the end of the day, everybody in that rink that's supporting the Belfast Giants is doing exactly the same thing. Be it Boomerang Corner or be it in the East Stand, it doesn't really matter. It's all about getting that sort of support going. And Boomerang Corner's been a really excellent addition to the match night at the Giants. And the bigger it gets and the more people get involved, or the more people get involved from elsewhere in the arena, the better.
Absolutely. It's getting even more encouraging for us. You know, yes, it's nice to hear, you know, compliments from players and stuff like that. But like you say, the whole catalyst thing, it's starting to pick up. It's starting to spread from that corner now. Like there's certain chants that Boomerang Corner do a wee bit more frequently than others. A lot of folks, if they watched the webcast at the weekend, might have got a dose of that with Per Simon Kitchen being over with us. I think
it didn't work out as they planned it.
It didn't really work out as best we could. It was kind of a big brother, please do not swear or anything like that. But there's certain chants, like kind of probably the most popular one is kind of Levy Le Mans at the moment, which kind of was inherited from some Swiss friends who had happened to come over and see James E. Demaray. But the whole kind of the clapping and the singing with that has really started to pick up and spread. And at the end of the day, if anybody wants to know the chants, come and ask us, and we'll be more than happy to enlighten them.
Absolutely, come and get involved. So this weekend, Monday, the final home game of the season against the Panthers, and I assume you guys will be there, banners, chants, all the usual stuff?
Absolutely, and it will be a barnstorm, I think. I think it's going to be on Premier by the sounds of it, from what I picked up earlier today. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason to come over and make some noise. Plus, it's the Panthers. It's always an interesting game. So it is. So all the more reason to make some noise and secure the victory and go on to the playoff weekend.
Fantastic. Well, listen, brilliant work with the Golden Boomerang. Congratulations to Jonathan Boxall on that. And just keep up the good work, Mr. Price. Keep up the good work.
We'll do our best.
Thanks very much to Alan. Boomerang Corner with their own award. That's fantastic news, Davey.
It's brilliant. That, you remember the skepticism about Boomerang Corner would never work, and you've got the likes of Joel and Alan all have taken it and ran with it, and it goes from strength to strength, and you've got people now going, I can't get into Boomerang Corner and there's no room. And, you know, this is something that might even spread out a wee bit further than the top four or five rows up there, and they've got their own awards. Absolutely brilliant, and a very worthy recipient.
It is. Aaron, Jonathan Boxall, well, he got the Unsung Hero Award at the Giants Awards Dinner, but this is one chosen by the ones up in Boomerang Corner for his hard work.
Yeah, fully deserved. You know, he's one of those guys that, as they say there, he never misses a shift. He goes out, he puts his body on the line. He's a ferocious work rate. He gets stuck in behind the net, and he's got a bit of skill there as well, you know, that adds to it. And he can, and he showed us at the weekend again, he can put the puck in the net, you know, if he gets the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, well, very well deserved. And one other award, one that's close to our own hearts, is the Kingdom of the Giants, MVP award for 2015-16. The information's on kingdomofthegiants.com. Send your vote in to MVP at kingdomofthegiants.com before Friday to see whose name's added to it. Well, we've got everybody from Theo Fleury to Daryl Lloyd's won it twice, Calvin Elfring, Mark Dudium, Roman Cavalier, drives a Cavalier. I forgot he'd won it actually, Davey, but a great award.
Yeah, and as you say, some fantastic names and servants to the club on that list. And somebody else is going to win it. Will it be a repeat winner? Will it be a new winner to the award? We'll just have to wait and see. I know I've got my own votes in, so be interesting just to see how the votes tally up come the end of the week.
Absolutely. That's MVP at kingdomofthegiants.com. Go to kingdomofthegiants.com for more information on that and get your votes in by Friday. Time for the fan agenda in association with Belfast Giants TV. What have we missed? What should we be talking about? No webcast to give out this week because there isn't one for the end of the season. But thanks very much to the guys at Belfast Giants TV for the support on this feature all season long. Let's start off with a question from James Trotman, James E. Trotters on Twitter. Aaron, if the Giants win nothing again, should Coach Walser's position be questioned for next season?
100% absolutely not.
Why?
First of all, I think he's actually done a pretty good job. You know, I know we finished fourth in the league, but if you analyze the table and you look back across the season, we're probably about, I don't know, three puck bounces away from challenging. I mean, not that we didn't challenge for the title, but three puck bounces away from being right up at the top of the table. Now, there were times, you know, our home form has been pretty disappointing. The guys know, you know, Coach Walser and the other coaches know that. But no, I think the main reason being, firstly, the team, I mean, Derek himself was one of the last guys signed. So the team that he was given, he didn't have much input other than maybe on one or two of the last couple of signings. Converse to that, the guys that he's brought in through the season have had a massive impact in Dave Rutherford and Jim Vandermeer. So I think you've got to give him the option going into this summer to put together or certainly have much more of a say in the composition of the roster that he wants for next season. He spent the year learning what way the league is, you know, having come from Germany and Sweden and where, you know, wherever it is around Europe he's been, and not knowing what was key to the Elite League. He's learned that. So you're losing a year's worth of work and you'd be putting us back into the position we were in this time last year of having a new coach. Okay, we may get someone who's experienced or whatever, but having a new coach to Belfast, possibly picking up players that aren't his own, you know, we may have to wait until the end of the summer before we get a coaching position. So no, I think it's important to give him another year.
I find this question very interesting, Davey. Our away form has been the best in the league, and obviously it's our home form that has left us in. It's our home form that has left us in fourth position in the league. So a lot of the people at home at the SSE are watching this team maybe not performing to the extent they were, and they want to. They've got to find a reason for it. They've got to find blame for it, and one of the things that they blame is maybe the coach himself, but. As Aaron says, I don't see a reason why we shouldn't move into next season with renewed hope with Derek Walser at the helm.
I think one of the risks, you know, if you sign a rookie coach, and we knew what we were getting with Walser and a rookie coach, it was his first time looking after a team, and it's been a steep learning curve for him. He's learned a lot. He's changed a lot. Should it be strategy? Should it be system? Should it be personnel? You know, as Aaron said previously there, bringing in Rutherford and Vandermeer. When changes were forced upon him, different season coming next year, he's going to have a chance to recruit his own guys, and in more of the mold of what we talked right at the start of the season, even before the season started, that we were offensively packed, you know, stacked at the back. And that seems to have been our Achilles heel at times this season. You know, the amount of games that, were lost, one goal games that were lost through defensive errors that we could have maybe wouldn't have made at other times. I think I'm excited already about the end of this season, but I'm excited to see what Walser recruit over the summer. And we have him on a 2-year deal. Who's to say it won't be more than that? You know, this guy wants to make a career out of coaching, and let's hope that he gets his first successes with the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, phenomenal player in my opinion, and you can see that. But for, as you say, Aaron, a few bad bounces and a few poor home performances, let's be fair, sometimes at home it has been pretty dire, but if we had held our home performances as we should have, we'd been there or thereabouts. Who's to say that won't change for next season? So yeah, I think there's no reason why we should be questioning Coach Walser's position. Next question, Big Mike C87, Michael Crawford. Davey, what's been your most satisfying win this season? His was the One Direction fiasco versus the Steelers, where we ended up winning 4-1. And to be fair, it's the only win we've had against them.
Can I have two?
Well, go on.
I'll start with way back in September when Neil the Coach Russell rolled into Belfast with his newly formed Manchester Storm and went home with it was 12th of September, went home with a bloody nose, 6 goals past him. So
And a phenomenal pass from Chris Higgins that broke the ankles of Omar Pasha.
I think Pasha's still getting his blood straightened out after that one. And I suppose, I know it's fresh in the mind, but after the sighting of Craig Peacock and after losing in Cardiff and ending our chances and seeing just what it meant, the likes of Matt Nickerson, the win against Cardiff last week, to end our chances and, you know, just to gain that little bit of revenge was quite sweet.
Aaron?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the ones that stood out to me was that Manchester game as well for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, seeing the Storm back in the arena after a lot of years, and obviously the links to our good friend being involved there. But since Davey's taken that one, I'll go with a couple of others. The Cardiff 2-0 win, I think was a massive one at that stage of the season. You know, we were looking up the table and we were looking to basically claw back into the title chase, and we did with probably our most complete performance. You know, you had a shutout there from Murph. You know, the defense obviously helped him, and we got the two important goals. And the other one was probably the 6-2 against the Panthers. Just the whole, you know, 2-1 down going into the final period, and then putting away I think five goals in one period against the Panthers. Very, very enjoyable.
Well, actually, I was going to go for that as well. The fact that the 6-2 over the Nottingham Panthers, but also the 5-1 over the Nottingham Panthers at the SSE. Oh, sorry, at the National Ice Centre. I think always a win at the NIC is great fun. I know what people go, well, it's a one-sided rivalry. I don't care if it's a one-sided rivalry. Don't like them. And we'll come to that in a second. Moving on. We've got a question here from @MarkHitchy, a guy called Mark Hitchcock. Don't recognize the name. Davey, as the game's on Premier on Monday, should the Giants register an ice Simon Kitchen just so he can take Janssen out of the game?
I watched the Periscope on Saturday morning of Simon Kitchen playing at the SSE Arena, just a bit of a shinny game with the likes of Glover and that, and no, I don't think that's a great idea.
I honestly thought that was going to be like, oh, the big man still got it, throw him out there, get involved. No, it's not a good idea.
I've no doubt if it ended up in a toe-to-toe situation, Janssen's getting taken out by the roots because Sez is an angry, angry man when the fists start flying, but no.
No. Mr. Kernan?
I'd love to see it. I mean, I remember watching the guy, you know, watching Sez on the ice and the, you know, playing for Ireland, and you know, I don't think he looked out of place against Big Cam there.
You know, I back Aaron up on that. You know, I grew up. That's my first hockey was in the Ice Bowl in the late 80s. The Ice Bowl opened in 85, and I used to go to Glentoran on a Saturday afternoon, get off the Mission Hall bus on the way home, and go into the hockey in the Ice Bowl. And Sez was playing, and Sez was a player. Sez had game, and only for his bad knees, Sez would have played for the Giants. No doubt about that. Sez, ask him sometime; he'll tell you the story. Don't worry about that. You know, very, very close to being a Belfast Giant and would have done really well for us in those early years. And I think if the Giants had started as an elite league club rather than the ISL, Sez would have been playing. No doubt about that. But things didn't work out for him. But he had game back in the day, but that was back in the day.
But no.
I wonder if he's had the same thoughts himself, because I know he was he periscoping or tweeting from a bit of a pre-game skit the other day at the SSE.
Well, he's coming over on Saturday for the game against the Nottingham Panthers. He might bring his skits with. Says tweet us at @AVFTB. Bring your skits with you, will you? Good man. Final question. One actually not about the Belfast Giants, but one came from Mark Jameson at Mark Jamo. It's sort of a reaction to the news today that the Coventry Blaze, in a sort of a means to do their own boomerang corner type thing, have taken over the away block and split the Steelers fans on either side. Davey, is Coventry moving the away fans a sign of Stewart's mental weakness?
I'm not sure whether it's a sign of Stewart's mental weakness. They want to get a bit of support in there behind it, but splitting the Sheffield fans on the the playoff game is certainly an interesting tactic. I wouldn't, you know, the home fans there are going to be in for plenty of bird during that game. And yeah, it's a bit of, you know, what do they say about being the greatest form of flattery? But can't remember what is them. Imitation's the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah.
You know, so credit the Boomerang Corner that Craig and Rob and that and Coventry have realised what a good thing and what a force for good it can be in your arena, and they're going for their own Boomerang block.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued by that, by putting the Steelers fans either side of them, sort of surrounding themselves. Sometimes the Coventry fans can be pretty quiet, and they're obviously trying to develop a bit of a catalyst to get a bit of noise there, but I don't know how well it's going to work with Steelers fans either side. Aaron?
No, I think it's a fair... It'll be interesting to see how it works. I mean, the Sky Dome used to be a pretty horrible place to go, you know, a few years back, and they created a fairly... Well, at times, I suppose it was almost a nasty atmosphere, but I think recently it's been a bit quieter and a bit more tame in there. So I think if it's a catalyst to get it back to the way it used to be and it helps them out, then why not?
Yeah, an interesting thing from that. Thanks for everybody for setting the fan agenda. Hashtag TFA on Twitter at AVFTB or on Facebook. And we'll have more of those. We've only got a couple of shows left, so keep the questions coming in and we'll have more next week. Time to look ahead to this playoff series. The Belfast Giants come up against, as fourth seed, come up against fifth seed. That is the Nottingham Panthers. Game on Saturday night and a game on Monday night back at the SSE Arena. First up, we travel to the NIC. And one man who'll be in his usual seat was Mr. Jono Bullard. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Not too bad, buddy. You guys are 4-6 from your last 10 games. Not the best of weekends gone by. Announcement today, Cam Jansen back for 2 years on a 2-year deal. How's the feeling in the Nottingham camp coming into this weekend?
After this evening's announcement, I think it's a little bit better, a bit more positive than what it was leading up to, well, after this weekend. After the Challenge Cup, really, there seems to have been a lot of malaise within the fan base. We've been 0.33 since we won the Challenge Cup. We had a chance of winning the league that went straight out of the window, and we've ended up finishing fifth, which for a club of our size, I think a lot of the fans just feel isn't good enough. So there's a lot of negative feeling around the club at the minute, and I think a lot of people have been saying that they're not confident going into this weekend playing a team like yourselves who are on a really, really good run of form at the moment.
How do you say about, you know, since the Challenge Cup, how do you go from beating the Steelers 10-0 to having the difficulties that you've had since?
Oof, I wish I knew. If I knew that, I'd probably be a very rich man. But I don't know, because when we played those games against the Steelers, we looked really, really confident. We played really well. We was clinical in front of the net. And then the two league games against them, I think admittedly they were more up for those two games, because they are built on winning the league. That is sort of their DNA, as it were. But I really don't know. Sometimes it's with the Panthers, the inconsistency is so bad. Sometimes it's almost as if you're watching two different teams, the good one and the bad one.
Jono, the other way. I was talking to Sizz earlier on about Corey Nielsen's position within the Nottingham Panthers. And I know before you won the league, whether people like to admit back to that or not, there was a lot of unrest within the Panthers fan base about his position, and Rick Strachan obviously come in and give him the shoulder to cry on, and they came together and made a really good team. But is a Challenge Cup a fifth place finish? And let's say, for the sake of argument, the Giants go through to the playoffs finals, and that would be 3 years in a row without a playoff final place. Is his position something that the club would be looking at?
I think it's been looked at already. It was certainly looked at the end of last season. That much I do know. And I think that the reason he came back is because the club couldn't find anybody else to come and coach, which is why his return was so late in being announced. There's always been a certain amount of the fan base who haven't liked Corey. I've gone from not liking him to liking him. You know, as with any fan, I'm fickle. and most fans are. But I think the problems probably run a bit deeper than Corey Nielsen. I don't see the point of replacing the coach if all we're going to bring in is a rookie coach or a player coach from the current squad, because in all honesty, I think that's who we're most likely to get. So because of that, and because of the success he's had, he's won an awful lot of trophies with the Panthers, albeit only the one league and very few league challenges. I just don't see the point in replacing him, to be honest.
It brings up another point there, Jono. I don't know if you listened to the Patrick Smith EIHL radio show there the other week.
I did indeed, yeah.
where he spoke about the sort of the nepotism in coaching that, you know, really only over the last number of years, the likes of Chuck Webber and our own Derek Walsh are really the only ones that have came from outside the league. As you say, you know, the chances are if the likes of Corey Nielsen and Rick Stackton did move on, it would be promotion from within. You know, is a club the size of the Panthers with the fan base they've got and obviously the money they have to spend, not a team that should be going out there and finding Europe's elite or finding someone from North America to take us to the next level?
Absolutely. I totally agree. We should be getting someone of the sort of pedigree of Walser, of Chuck Webber, like you said. The thing is the scouting network within the clubs good enough to find these coaches? And I think that could be the problem.
Jono, Aaron here.
Hi, Aaron.
Sort of touching a wee bit on, I suppose, on the coaching. What do you think of the way he's managed the two important goalies? And, you know, obviously we've sort of seen them shuffle around a bit. You know, how do you think that's impacted on the way the team have gone in the last wee while?
I think it's added to the inconsistency a bit because we have Madalora, for instance, who came in recently. He conceded 1-5, got the shutout against Coventry, but then shipped 4 goals against Sheffield. Weekman comes in, he ships 4 goals against Cardiff. I still don't know if Weekman's carrying an injury. He doesn't look to be moving as well as he was. So I don't know if that's a reason. But I suppose he's got to keep two of them happy. And I think Weekman would be the one that Corey would go for because he has been the number one since the start of the season. He's got the better pedigree. And in all respects, he has been the better netminder. But then you've got Madalora coming in. He's done well. He's done okay. I don't know. It's difficult. I think it just adds to the inconsistency. And the problem is if you've got two important netminders and they're both different styles, then the defence doesn't know, or the defence gets confused and what style are they playing? Have they got the netminder who's coming out to play the puck often? Have they got one who stays in his crease? And I suppose that doesn't help. And it's a difficult one to manage. And I know, I think I heard something, Dave Sims on one of his periscopes saying he wouldn't be surprised if Nottingham went with two import netminders next season because of the import increase. I'm not so sure myself. I don't think it's probably needed in this league, to be honest.
So what do you expect then, Jono? We the game on Saturday at the NIC, the game is Sunday at the Monday at the SSE. The game's going through the season, start off a bit tight. Of course, the last couple of matchups, the Giants have had to come from behind and actually had quite comfortable wins.
Yeah.
Giants coming off 3 wins in a row, the Panthers coming off a few losses. What are you expecting from this weekend?
Well, you guys, I was at the last game at the SSC, I was at the last game at the NIC, and you guys played off the ice both games. So I think the momentum's with you as well. You come into this weekend with 3 wins. We've just come off 2 defeats, so we haven't exactly got momentum with us. There's the issue of which netminder starts. It's all pointing towards a Giants victory. However, it depends which Panthers team turns up. Because if we get the team that turned up the Challenge Cup final, the team that turned up against Sheffield in the Challenge Cup semi-final, then the talent is there and the quality is there to blow you away.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends how they turn up. It depends if there's any niggling injuries, which I think there may be a couple of bangs and bruises, nothing too serious. So I think it's a fascinating matchup, but I think the way things have gone over the past couple of weeks, at the moment, I can only see the Giants winning.
Interesting. Well, when can we hear you guys on the Cats Whiskers talk about this?
Yeah, we're recording tomorrow night. We've got some guy from Belfast coming on to talk about it with us.
Hitchy?
Yeah. No, he was unavailable. I think he's doing Purple Army or something that night. So, obviously, you are coming on to talk about it with us. So we're recording tomorrow night, so that should be out very, very late tomorrow night, very early on Thursday morning.
Excellent.
And then the Ask TCW podcast will be later in the week.
Always a great show. Jono, thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely, anytime, mate. Pleasure.
Divi, Jono made a good point there about how it's interesting about what Panthers team turns up. I'd arguably say that's also the same case for the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, look, we spoke a little bit earlier in the show about, you know, the Panthers, and we'll talk about them obviously in more detail now. They've got great goal scoring ability. They've got guys, 30 odd goals, you know, Kolnick, Bombach, Clark are all guys that have goals on the end of their stick at any time in a game. They just haven't had, a bit like ourselves, just haven't had the ability to get it out consistently and in spells. And at the minute, I think we're just slightly hotter than them. Their goaltending's going to be an issue. Stephen Murphy's playing very well in nets. Will it be Matalora? Will it be Wiegman? Will they play one game each? And that seems to have been the way it's gone lately. They've completely shared the load. And at playoff time of year, you usually see one guy in a duet, you know, grabbing it and holding on to it and being the man, the go-to guy. So I'm expecting nothing else but an absolute war in Nottingham. Not specifically physically, but I think it'll be really, really tight. It'll be attritional. And I just think that we need to come away from the NIC with something to take back to Belfast. Or, you know, as Jono said, we have the ability to get blown away. We have the ability to blow the Panthers away. We've had both the results in the NIC this season. You know, we've been hammered by them when we've hammered them. So, you know, it's just, I literally trying to sit back and look at this as an outsider, or, you know, sit with no emotion about it. It's just too tight to call.
Aaron, you brought up the goalkeeping scenario with Jono there. What was your take on it? They've had Matalora come in for a few games, trying to play the hot hand. Jono says he thinks Wiegman's got an injury. And that sort of dynamic's going to be an interesting one.
It certainly is. I mean, I know if you look at Brayhead were doing something similar. You know, they had two import goalies and they were trying to sort of keep them both happy. But in the end, they've sort of run with one of them. It was the one that they brought in at the start of the year, as it happened. And, you know, it seems to have paid off for them because they went through a patch where they weren't playing particularly, you know, where they weren't getting the results anyway. But since they settled on one goalie, they've strung together a pretty good run of form. Hopefully the Panthers don't learn from that.
Of course, the game on Saturday, there's no webcast because the Panthers don't do that sort of thing. And on Sunday, Premier Sports are in town, Murph and Paul Eady. And
Monday.
Sorry, I keep saying Sunday, don't I? Monday. Yep. I keep just not used to it. Easter Monday, of course. Murph and Paul Eady in town with Premier Sports. Davey, and unsurprising, it's more or less the tie of the round.
Yeah, I think when you have, you know, 1v8, 2v7, you end up with teams that have just missed out on a championship there in sort of fourth, fifth places. Two very, very good teams, and traditionally good playoff teams, good cup teams. You know, we've had good success ourselves in the playoffs over the years. We've had two final defeats in the last number of years as well against a team in Nottingham who have won it, the one time many years in a row there a while back. And, you know, it is the tie of the round. It's no surprise to me that the TV channels are interested. As I said earlier, it's just a pity it's not the other way around. For a couple of reasons, I would have liked the club to have got the large revenue that it would obviously have generated for us at the tail end of the season. And it would have, you know, the webcast team deserved to put their wares out there, big, big audience. But, you know, we have a lot of time for Murph and we wish him every success in Belfast this weekend. I think you said he'll probably bring Paul Eady over with him as well. And a guy who's got experience with both organisations. So it'll be a game that I'm not going to be able to be at in person. I've got a game on Monday afternoon. So I'll be tuning in to Premier Sports on the Skybox up the stairs.
And Aaron, hopefully on that game on Monday, we'll have a full bowl and we'll have a decent crowd, because with it being the Nottingham Panthers, with it being the Giants trying to knock the Panthers out of their third consecutive Final Four, it's a hell of a game in store.
It really is. You know, I'm a bit wary, you know, Easter Monday in Belfast, it'll be interesting to see. And of course, Northern Ireland playing a home match as well. So it'll be interesting to see how many people we can get in for it. But, you know, I think the guys deserve, you know, if you're free and if you're available, get down, because I think the guys deserve you to get behind them, make a bit of noise. And, you know, it's the last chance to see this team. And hopefully we can finish up with a win at home, you know, just to send people into the summer with.
Absolutely. The game on Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the NIC in Nottingham. Keep an eye on at AVFTB for updates or information that we can throw your way. And as I said, on Easter Monday, not Sunday, on Easter Monday, 7 p.m, the final time the Belfast Giants will be playing this season at the SSE against the Nottingham Panthers, with that chance to go to the Final Four in Nottingham the following weekend. If you can't get down to it, it's on Premier Sports with Murph and Paul Eady. Any other business, gents?
Just to reminisce about a fantastic event that happened after the last game there on Saturday, where, you know, I was down waiting to speak to the coach and so on, and the radio messages were coming through that there were too many people in the bar, and we ended up with, we reckon it was around about 300 people watching a guy get his haircut.
Yes, top work by Jonathan Boxhill, and Davey looks quite different.
He certainly does. There, Shane Johnson told a great story on Giants Live TV the other night, just about the Ron Weasley angle on it. Whenever they were over in America. But if you haven't done so, go and download the webcast from last weekend and hear that story. But brilliant that a charity gets so much. They get the hair, they get the money, they get everything. Boxy gets a new fresh look. I honestly wouldn't have known him if you'd asked him to come up and say hello to me. But you know, credit to him for doing that. Selfless. A lot of the stuff these guys do, we talked about it before, a lot of stuff they do is very selfless, and they do it in our name. They do it as Belfast Giants players. They do it for our city, and credit to them. And just on the subject of that, obviously tonight, and this podcast will go out tomorrow probably, you know, there's a fundraiser in the Belfast Bacon Company for Tom Simpson. Anybody that you know, doesn't know, Tom's over there in London, and obviously there's a big expense to that and the fundraisers last year, and they just want to do a bit of a top up. And obviously we were involved a little bit last year in collecting money. So if anybody wants to make a donation, we'll put up the PayPal account on our Twitter. We might even see if we've got anything we can raffle off or whatever. See if we can add a wee bit to the funds. But you know, that PayPal's there. If anyone that wasn't able to get there tonight wants to stick their hand in their pocket, every penny counts, you know, and when you're away from home, to just be able to be that wee bit more comfortable would really help the Simpson family out. Tom's doing well, getting a wee bit stronger every day. I heard him on the Twitter the other night. So if you're listening in, Tom, all the very best from us three and everybody else. We all wish you very well, mate.
Here, here, some really top work from the guys and the likes of Laura Small and all to get this sort of ball rolling for the likes of Tom, and also going back to Boxy and the work that he's done. Fair play to him. As you say, I wouldn't recognise him now if he walked past us, so I'll have to get used to that. On that note, as we say, Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the NIC, Monday night, 7 p.m. at the SSE, it's playoff time. It's the Nottingham Panthers. Two massive games. If you can't get to the second one, it'll be on Premier Sports. I don't know about you, gents, but I'm pretty excited about this.
Paddy, I can't wait. You know, the time for talking now is over. I know we said months ago, you know, last chance saloon, blah, blah, blah. Regular season's over. It's about the playoffs now. You know, all the seasons in place, all that, the 52 games to see who you play in the playoff. This is the business end of the season. It's talked about time year in, year out. People want to win the last game of the season. They want to win the playoffs. It's the North American mentality, the North American setup now. Whether or not our playoffs is the be all and end all, doesn't matter at this stage. It is what it is. You know, and we want to win it. We want to beat the Panthers. We want to move on to the playoff final weekend. And we'll just, you know, if you're, wasn't it Todd Kelman said the other week, it's better to be at the dance, you know, than sitting watching. So let's get into the playoff finals and let's just see where this team can take us. Come on!
Aaron?
What he said.
Top work. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. Big thanks to Mitch Ganzak, John O'Bullard, Mark Hitchcock for his insightful part of the show, and Alan Price for chat about Boomerang Corner. We'll be back next week to talk about all the events that took place this weekend, wherever you are this weekend. We hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time. All of you from the bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.